Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know why it would surprise people that Texas Tech, a team that was in the Final Four and a couple of ticks away from the national championship game, would actually be able to beat number one. I mean, it's not like they don't have a culture that expects that a little bit, even if the personnel is a little bit different. But these things happen in December, don't they?
Yeah, they beat Louisville Jimmy down. V Classic, 70-57.
Yeah.
Unranked, Texas Tech was. A little rockier start than they're used to, like you said. But that makes it the fourth different AP number one team to lose this season. That's already the most.
Yeah, it's the third time by an unranked team, right?
Evansville, Stephen F. Austin, Texas
Tech. I think it's three out of
the
four come from unranked teams.
That's right.
Yeah.
Evansville, Stephen F. Austin, Texas Tech. That's already the most before January 1 of any season, which probably is, and Greg or Bill Self made these comments in Wichita about the difference between ranked and unranked teams a couple of days ago here in town. This bears that out. I mean, this year,
yeah, it does.
I don't know if there's a number one. I mean, Michigan State, Kentucky, Duke, and now Louisville have all gotten beat. And KU's probably going to be the next one. And Duke beat them in the opener. Of course, Kansas hadn't lost since. But I'm not sure if there's a team that has I know there hasn't been a team that has emerged yet that we can say that's what the best team in the country looks like.
I mean, could Ohio State be that team? Maybe.
I mean,
based on what we've seen early.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maryland lost last night too. They were number four.
Yes, they did.
Penn State beat them.
Yes.
Unranked Penn State beat number four Maryland. And Penn State was favored to win the game, by the way. That just goes to show you, I think, to your point with Brian, how meaningless in many ways these rankings are. Because Penn State, statistically and odds-wise, was a better team than Maryland last night. And Maryland was the fourth-ranked team in the country. And Penn State won the game. So, speaking of Texas Tech, Jarrett Culver played there last year. He's currently in the NBA with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's the number six overall pick in the draft last year. He's averaging a little over 9 points a game for the Wolves this season. His brother probably will have the bragging rights at the Christmas table, the dinner table, anytime they ever get together, maybe for the rest of both of their lives. He plays for Wayland Baptist. That's an NAIA school in Texas. And J.J. Culver had 100 points last night. 100.
Took 60-some shots to do it.
Yeah. He was actually really efficient, 34 of 62.
Very.
That's.
Yeah, he shot well.
Yep, 12 of 33 from three. And he actually left a few points at the free throw line. He's 20 out of 27. The rest of his teammates went 8 for 15 from the field and 5 for 6 from the line. Next highest score on the team was Jonathan Robinson, who had 8. So he had 100 of their 124, and he went from 28 points a game to 36 points per game in one game.
That's hard to do.
That is
hard to do right there.
Quite difficult to do.
Wow.
Now, their coach, whose name's Ty Harrelson, mentioned after the game that they always script their first few plays. And when you've got a 28-point-per-game score, and it's Jarrett Culver's brother, then he's probably right at the top of the scouting report. So after he hit his first three or four, their coach said, that the guys realized he was hot and they kept going to him.
Feed the monster.
And they pretty much did.
Yep.
And the team that they beat was Southwestern Adventist. So I think it'll probably get tougher after this, but whatever. The only other NAI player in history to have a 100-point game was Bevo Francis back in 1954. He had 113.
Wow.
Yep. There's only been one player in NCAA Division I history that's had a 100-point game. That was Furman's Frank Selvey, who had 100 back in 1954, same year. Division I had a 100-point score, and the NAIA had a 100-point score back in 1954.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And, of course, you recall, or hopefully, this guy was ridiculous at Grinnell College, Jack Taylor. Back in 2012 and 2013, he scored a all-levels record except for the playgrounds, I guess, 138 points. In a game back in 2012 at Division III Grinnell. And they also had a 109-point game in 2013. So J.J.
That's
Cole,
a guy who can play. Doesn't make any difference to the level. Still got to shoot it. Wow. That's amazing.
34 for 62 from the field. 12 of 33 from three, which is quite acceptable. I mean, if you had the whole team do this, 34 for 62, 12 of 33 from three, and 20 for 27 from the line, that's an awesome game for the team.
It is.
So if one guy does that, I mean, you may end up scratching your head saying, well, you know, come on, they propped the guy up. Well, what he did was just as good as what your entire team would do in one night. To score 100 points, shoot better than 50% from the floor, and make 20 of your 27 free throws. It just so happened that J.J. Culver did that all by himself. And he's actually older than Jarrett, which I found kind of...
I didn't know that,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, he's a senior. And
I guess that makes sense, yeah, right.
So
yeah.
He's older than his brother who's in the NBA. So, history made last night in Wayland Baptist's 124-60 win over Southwestern Adventist. Wayland Baptist is in Plainview, Texas, by the way, in case you wondered. And at the Division I level, number one goes down again. Louisville lost to Texas Tech. And again, if KU is number one, not that they won't lose to Villanova, but it's not going to happen on a Tuesday. Their next two games are on a Saturday.
Right.
So they play Kansas City, the former UMKC, in KC, coming up on the 14th this Saturday. And then the Big E.
Did you see that Northern Iowa went to Colorado and won last night?
I did. And it forced me to kind of look up on, metric site that you favor, because I was the one that said, just keep in mind that Northern Iowa's resume will get worse after Cancun, and West Virginia's will get better. And then after
well,
that,
it will now.
It will now. Because even with the win, Northern Iowa's 91 in KenPom.
Right.
And not
they were 100, I think. Yeah. They were 101, I think, before yesterday.
Not to slight Northern Iowa. Not to take anything away from their win at Colorado, because that was excellent. 79-76, they scored the last 6 points of the game and stole one. So, yeah, good for them. But their overall metric is barely top 100. But that's
they beat South Carolina too, right? But it was a close game.
I think that's
right.
I can't
remember how that game went.
Yeah, that's a good question. I forget.
Because they were in the same they were in the same pairing as Wichita State.
Oh, wait. Yeah, because they're 9-1. They've only lost once. So they would have had to have won the game. So, they are 91 and a recheck of KenPom after games last night. Wichita State, 38, one spot ahead of Oklahoma State, who they just beat, and two spots ahead of VCU, who comes to Wichita on the 21st. and OU's 41.
Again, when we have these conversations, it's good to have, even with all the love that we had in the Valley, it's good to have that in its rearview mirror because the Valley is very much a one-bid league, period. There are no teams that will rise to the level in the Valley this year to make it more than a one-bid league. We've got one team in the top 100, for goodness sakes.
Loyola's next, and they're 6-4
mm-hmm.
at 110. Loyola, and then Bradley at 121. Well, I take that back. Indiana State's at 119. But, yeah, to your point.
Yeah.
And the American is, how do you describe the American? You've got Memphis, who is the best, question mark?
Supposedly.
Right? At 8-1 without James Wiseman still.
Right?
I mean, they're taking care of their business. But from Memphis to Houston to Wichita State to SMU, I suppose.
All the way to UConn.
UConn, yeah. UConn and Cincinnati. I forgot. Sorry about that. Memphis and UConn.
Yeah.
And then SMU, I think, is still undefeated or only once beaten. Somebody help me out here. Help me out here, Ken Palm.
I think they've lost one. Maybe not.
They're off
though.
To a really, really good start. I know that. Yeah, they're 8-1, but haven't played quite the schedule of all those other guys I just mentioned. So I know that'll all settle, you know, kind of settle out a little bit. But the Americans off to a really, really good start. In aggregate, you know, everybody,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, and the Americans off to a good start.
Yeah, you're going to have like six top 100 teams in the American, probably. Now, whether it stays that way the whole season remains to be seen, but
or
you would think so.
What that translates come bracketology in March. Like, I mean, I have a feeling they're going to be talking about the American, there's going to be some next four outs and first four outs and have American schools
mm-hmm.
on it. Did we bring up on the show that Shockers cracked the bracketology, the way too early bracketology?
No, we didn't.
I don't think we did.
We
you
didn't.
And I between each other did, but we didn't say anything
Yeah, you
on the
and
show.
I chatted about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it leads me to my question that I actually posed to you. Lenardi has him as a 10. Right now, here you go, Shocker fan. Would you take that right now? Or would you bet on future performance? Shane and I both kind of, I think, came to the conclusion that I think I'd probably take a 10 seed right now and run with it. My God, you're talking about a group of basically sophomores and freshmen. There are better days even coming. Now, they could, who knows what ends up happening. They put themselves in a position to gain even stronger currency here by the win at Oklahoma State. But we don't know how the conference is going to play out. Would you take a 10 seed right now, or would you bet that the Shockers could do better? I'm not sure how much better they could do, but, I mean, what do I know?
I'll take the 10.
I think I'd take the 10 and bank it. I'd take the 10 and bank it.
Lenardi points out that Wichita is one of the last four byes. In other words, one of the last four in that mm-hmm. didn't have to play. Do they, forgive my ignorance, they still have the first four, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So
yep.
Some 16s and some 11s play in
right.
the first four. Shockers would avoid that with a 10. Anything right this second that would keep you out of the first four, I think you would take. I mean, I would.
I think so. I would.
Because there's going to be some a head-scratching loss or two here or there for Wichita State coming up. I mean, there are going to be nights that they don't have it that'll make you rethink, you know. Man, I wish mm-hmm. I'd have taken that 10, that imaginary 10. Oklahoma State, by the way, is also one of those teams that is in right now, according to Lenardi. And Shockers have one in their pocket over them. But a lot of future or past Shocker opponents in at the moment, when you're talking about bracketology, including Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. I don't see West Virginia, but they got to be in there somewhere. Just kind of.
They are.
Kind of.
They're
oh,
in there.
They're a nine. Yeah, there they are. A nine mm-hmm. playing Washington in the Midwest. So. Yeah, the fun part's to come as far as the Wichita State schedule. And we talked about that a little yesterday. And it starts Saturday afternoon at Intrust Bank Arena with Oklahoma coming to town. OU 7-1, Shockers 8-1. And what is this? The 10th annual Intrust Bank Arena game? Something like that.
God, is it really? Yeah, that many, huh?
I think so, yeah. Let's see, Tulsa, UAB, Southern Miss, Tennessee, St. Louis, Utah, Okie State, Oklahoma. That's eight. Have they played anybody twice? I think they played Southern Miss twice, so that would be nine.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're right.
This would be started in 2010 when they beat Tulsa.
Yeah, that's right. Garrett Stutz had a nice game.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, time flies. My goodness. A little scary. All right, we'll get to OTD.
Speaking of time flying, OTD is coming up.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. On this day in history, it happened on this day in sports, December 11th. It's brought to you by Superior Rents, and it's coming your way next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.